And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I don't have a Twitter account or anything like those, whatever, if there are other competitors that do the same thing, but... it's a trending thing in our culture, mostly with younger people, but with a lot of different people, of following people on Twitter. And there are actresses or musicians or popular people, and they may have millions of people that follow them. To me, I don't get it, but it happens. People do follow a lot of things. And today I'd like to share a little bit about following. There are some better things to follow than people, especially people that don't know much about life. They may be good in one thing, but the rest of life is a little screwy, maybe. But the basic meaning of what follow is just means to go after or to go behind. There are a lot of little nuances. I'm sure we've all been in circumstances where... especially before GPS, if you wanted to travel to some destination and one person says, I know how to get there, you know, I've said it myself, okay, I'll follow you. So they make a left, I make a left. They make a right, I make a right. They slow down, I slow down. They go fast, I go fast. When we get there, I say, is this it? But, you know, following is just simply getting behind whatever the lead is and doing what they're doing. And so what we choose to follow can be very important. Very important. Things we followed perhaps through the years, getting where we wanted to go. Remember Jeff Duclos saying, don't go down that road. There's something to the end of that road you don't want to be in. But our best bet for life is to follow God and the things of God. And some of us, or some people on this earth, have chosen us. We have chosen that to follow God. now here's a record, chapter 15, of two different types of following. Verse 1, it says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. The scribes were men who worked with law, the Old Testament law. They were very knowledgeable of it. And Pharisees, a group of people who were very attentive to the scriptures in the Old Testament, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples not following that too well. Why did thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. So these, you know, they're not following along. And they're asking Jesus, how come? But he answered and said unto them, well, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, he's going to give an example. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honoreth not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, and this is from Isaiah chapter 29, this people draws nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So one group followed the commandments of men, and Jesus Christ was following the scriptures. Two different roads there. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. To your right, 2 Peter chapter 1. What we follow is very important. That would be correct. Chapter 1, verse 16. And I'm in first here. I'm not even following my own directions. Chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables or myths when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. They didn't follow these real sharp theories. Instead, they taught about the truth of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Last week, we looked a little bit concerning strength, how God strengthens and how he can strengthen. And great example was this man, Caleb. There were two people that ended up in the promised land that came out of Egypt. When Israel left Egypt, there were only two people, Joshua and Caleb. And the reason is because they wholly followed God and his word, as we'll see. We read this last week, and we're going to look at this in a little more detail in another book. It's chapter 14. Sorry, I didn't tell you that before. Chapter 14, and in verse 7, this is Caleb speaking concerning a situation that happened many years before. It says, 40 years old was I when, verse 7, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy foot hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. So, Joshua and Caleb wholly followed the Lord, and God honored that. And they, as I said, there were the only two guys that entered into the promised land that came out of Egypt. That was over 20 years old when this happened. We're going to go to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 13. And I just want to look at the record concerning that actual event. Let's see a little bit more detail. What was it that Joshua and Caleb did to wholly follow God Almighty? Chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 1. Numbers chapter 13. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. This is the promised land, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And then it gives some detail about their names. Joshua and Caleb were two of those men. So there were 12 men sent out as doing a little reconnaissance, like spies. And Joshua and Caleb were two of those men. Verse 17 says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, wherein, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be woods therein or not, and be of good courage, bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came into Hezbon, where Ahiam, Shishai, and Talmi, the children of Anak, were. The children of Anak were, they were little children. The Anakans were huge guys. They were Goliath. When David killed Goliath, Goliath was of the Anakans, a big fella. He was 10, 12 feet tall. So they see these big guys. verse 23, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. So it took two guys to carry one little of grapes. I'd say this is an abundant land. The people are big, the grapes are big. Well, big guys got to eat big food, right? Verse 24, and the place was called of the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and all of the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now these 12 men all saw the same things. They all saw those big guys. They all saw the grapes. They all saw the bountiness of the land. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Anakites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And remember, this was the promised land. God promised Abraham, he promised Isaac, he promised Jacob, there's a land I'm going to give you. It's a promise from God Almighty. He says, hey, we can go and take it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They're a little upset. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would we had died in this wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be at prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? You know, it wasn't so bad in Egypt. I mean, we only got whipped a couple times a day and didn't get to eat much and didn't get paid. And we had, you know, we But we were doing really good. Amazing, right? Weren't it better for us to return into Egypt? Verse 4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. So they're going to get a new leader. Moses, you're out. We're following somebody else. And return unto Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, there it is, he didn't have a mama, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, which means to rip it. It was an Eastern culture there. Rip your clothes. It's either of sorrow or and mourning or of anger. Here, I think, could be either one. You know, sorrowful that they're coming up with this report, or pretty pissed off that they're coming up with this report. And they spake, verse 7, and they spake unto all the children of the company of the children of Israel, saying, and this is Joshua and Caleb, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with them, or with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. So Caleb, Joshua both said, hey, God Almighty is God Almighty. He's promised us. You know, they're bread for us. We can take them. They wholly followed that which was told them by what Moses had said, what the words, the promises were. Those other 10 veered and followed their fears, their worries, or whatever else they saw. You know, they saw the bigness of the guys and said, "Oh, I'm not so sure if I can take those guys." And they were able to convince all those people. So Moses says, "Hey, you guys, you know, you're not believing what God promised. He's sending you. He's changed what he's going to do for you. He's sending you back in the wilderness." And your kids are going to be the ones to go into the wilderness. I mean, into the promised land. Not you guys. So now they're feeling kind of crummy. Okay, well, maybe we made a bad decision here. So they gather together and they make a decision. Okay, well, we are going to go in. This is kind of, it's almost comical. It's like the Keystone Cops coming in, you know. Chapter 14. Verse 39. We're just gonna read what happens. So they gather, you know, their forces, and they're gonna go up. verse 39. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children. So they had told them all, you know, what was gonna happen. Only Joshua and Caleb were gonna go in, unto all the children of Israel. And the people mourned greatly. They rose up early in the morning and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. You know, we made a mistake here. We're going to go in now. Verse 41. And Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. What was the commandment? That they, God said, hey, now you're going back into the wilderness, and I'm going to wait for the next generation, and they're going to go in. That's now the promise. So now they're going to go against that commandment. So Moses says, what, are you going to go against that? You're not going to prosper. Verse 42, go not up. Can it be any clearer? Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and they shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hill. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Moses says, I'm not going with you. And the ark is staying here, and the ark represents the word of God. It's not moving with you guys. And so basically they're saying, well, we're not going to follow God. We're going to go up there and do it on our own now. And so what great results we see in verse 45. Not really. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hormah. So they got their butt kicked. Only because they just weren't following God. Had they just followed what Joshua and Caleb had said, they said, we can take it. And they wholly followed God. They could have went in. They could have been. God made a right-hand turn. They could have made a right-hand turn with them. God made a left-hand turn. They could have made a left-hand turn with them. God sped up. They could have sped up. God slowed down. They could have slowed down. Instead, they made up their own rules. You know, they got out in their own lane. I'm going to take it right here. They didn't prosper. Amazing. So what happened, though, 40-some years later, when they did cross over the Jordan, remember, and the first place they went was Jericho, mm-hmm. and it was all by God's guidance, and Joshua and Caleb led, and God said, go, and they went, and God opened up the Jordan River, remember that? They walked around Jericho 7 different days, and then God had said, when you I say shout, you shout. They shouted, these big walls, remember I said with walled cities, the big walls came down, they ran in, they took over the city, and they beat 40 or 50 some different kings that were in that area. Every one of them, boom, boom. They did what they could have done many years earlier had they followed God Almighty. But Joshua and Caleb wholly followed. And that's what following is, where you follow the scriptures. You go, you know, you do what God's word says. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 14. Just going to look at a couple more scriptures, examples of people who did follow or didn't. There's great benefit to following God. There's a wonderful example. What a difference. I mean, it changed their entire lives by that, what they chose to follow or not follow. And Caleb benefited, even though he had to stay out there in the wilderness with them. Look at his strength. Look what God did for him. He still had the strength of a 40-year-old man, a 45-year-old man, at 85. What a wonderful thing that was. He got to still enjoy it with a youthful body, so to speak. It's amazing what God can do. Verse 7. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee, Jeroboam was a king, from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but has done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Not a very good thing. David followed God, and this guy Jeroboam chose not to, but both had a choice. Both were king of Israel, different times, but time periods, but made two different choices. And Jeroboam became the standard bearer of sin. Everything was measured of how evil you were based on Jeroboam. This guy was worse than Jeroboam, or this guy was not as evil as Jeroboam. He became not a good thing. He ain't Adam of some things in the word. So we're just going to go to one more scripture, and that's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. There are a lot of records in the Old Testament that you can see. Just look up the word follow or following or followed, where men have chose to follow God and the great blessings you can see in their life, or chose not to follow God. and different consequences and difficulties they dealt with. Here is a charge by revelation from the Apostle Paul to Timothy as a man of God of what to follow. And we can certainly imitate this. And also what not to follow. Chapter 2, verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lusts. And one of the youthful lusts is that you just want everything. Most younger people want everything. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And then they find, and when you get older, you realize, I don't need most of this stuff. What did I sell myself out to? You know, why did I do all that? For what? This? But flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, which is the word for believing, charity, which is a word for love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I'm going to read it again. Flee also youthful lusts, but in contrast to that, follow after righteousness, believing, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And those are some things that we can follow after. There are scriptures that talk about us following good. There are scriptures that talk about us following the Lord Jesus Christ. There are scriptures that talk about following believers that are living God's word. You don't follow their idiosyncrasies, you know, their personalities. You follow the truths that they're living. So it's really just a wonderful thing, the righteousness. You know, we can be told, oh, you're just a real jerk. And you could either believe that and follow that in your mind, or you can believe God made me righteous, and that's what I'm going to follow. Mm-hmm. We can be bitter towards someone and follow after that, chase that in our heart. That feels really good. Or we can follow love and pursue that relationship in light of the love of God. And if that's the case, you'll end up forgiving the person if they did something badly to you. So it's just what we choose to follow is a very important thing. And we want to continue to follow wholly the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the things concerning truth. And what a benefit it is to us to wholly follow. Look at the benefit to Joshua and Caleb. Only two old guys out there that made it into the promised land. Really amazing.